So Jesus bless you. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, and verse 3. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, and verse 3. The prophet Jeremiah records, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee," praise God. The Lord hath appeared unto of old unto me, saying, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee," praise God. The message is simply entitled, "Understanding God's Everlasting Love," praise God. Understanding God's everlasting love, amen. This cannot be a controversial message. Every church, every denomination, everybody, atheist, unbeliever, whatever you may be, believer, this should unite everyone, in my opinion, to believe that God has loved us with an everlasting love, praise God. There are few things as powerful as knowing that the powerful God, the all-powerful God, loves me. Praise God. Even on this earth, if you discover that somebody very powerful loves you, it really means a lot. It gives you a certain confidence. You realize, wow, I'm not unknown. I am not helpless. I am not a nobody. Somebody very powerful happens to love me. I'm here to tell you, there is no one more powerful than Jesus. And this Jesus declares to you and me today that he loves us with an everlasting love. Praise God. This should make you heady. It should, you should feel a rush of, feeling of being exceptional. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Wow. The God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who made the planets, the solar system, the galaxies, the black hole, the supernovas, this powerful being, he knows about me? Me? Tiny, puny me? Yes. Not only does he know about you, he loves you with an everlasting love. Be comforted with this thought. Be comforted with this knowledge. This is the most powerful knowledge that the devil doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to believe. Right now, as I'm sharing this with you, the devil is tragically convincing thousands of people on this earth that nobody loves him. They might as well go ahead and kill themselves. Why do people kill themselves? They lose all hope. No, nobody cares about me. Nobody would miss me. This is the greatest lie that the devil shares with people today. The best way to defeat the devil is to tell him, no, no, no. I am loved by the God who made the heavens and the earth. I am not an accident of evolution. I was willed into existence. I was willed into existence by love. by the love of the Creator. And that is why your soul is precious. Your existence is precious. Your soul, your spirit has been willed into existence by God. Amen. We cannot really decide when we will end our lives because it's not ours to decide over. It belongs to the God of life, the God who said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 7 with you. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 7, God told Israel through Moses, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Amen. But because the Lord loved you, and because you would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Praise God. Amen. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. How about that? But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Praise God. Think about this love for a moment. How blessed are the people whom God loves. The people who God clothes with his love. The most powerful being in the universe loves you. This is not a small thing. This is not a small thing. Israel were not chosen because of any criteria. There was nothing about them that could deserve the love of God. Please understand this. None of us can deserve the love of God. That word should not enter our vocabulary. It should not feature in our being, in our consciousness. It has nothing to do with what we do. God loves you. He loves me. That is what matters. Can you accept the love of Jesus? We say, well, why do you witness to me? Why do you Christians keep talking about Jesus? Because he loves you. He made you because of his love. Every time you breathe, you are proof that God loves you. Every time you are healed, you get up from the bed of sickness, you are proof that God loves you. Hallelujah. So in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, it says, the Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. The love of God is eternal. The love of God is steadfast. It never changes. And it is personal. Say it's personal. Amen. It's good to say Jesus loves the church. But remember, he loves you individually in a unique way. Praise God. That's why the love of Jesus went personally to every one of his apostles. He called Matthew as only he can call Matthew. He did not call Matthew the same way that he called Paul or Peter. Because Jesus' love for Matthew is unique. He came to the job of Matthew. It was a shameful job. No Jew would want to go and visit Matthew as a tax collector, a traitor to his people. Working for the Romans, it was one of the most shameful jobs. But Jesus went there not to condemn him, not to put him to shame, but because he loves him. The job you do, the way you look, whatever your name, your background, will never stop the love of Jesus. He will still come to you. Hallelujah. He came to Matthew. He told him, follow me. Praise God. It doesn't matter where the love of Jesus finds you. What matters is whether you leave where you are and follow the love of Jesus. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. Let me repeat it. It doesn't matter where the love of Jesus found you, because it will find you, wherever you are. But what matters is whether you leave everything and follow the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The love of Jesus is beyond your shame. It is beyond your sin. It will overpower. It will neutralize your sin if you are willing to leave whatever you were doing when the love of Jesus comes to you. Hallelujah. That is the story of the people in heaven, brothers and sisters. They can all give you a testimony of where the love of Jesus found them. Where did the love of Jesus find you? Where were you? Praise God. I was not in a good place when the love of Jesus found me. But the love of Jesus took me to a good place. Hallelujah. It's not where it found you. It's where it takes you. Well, hallelujah. Let's say, take me, love of Jesus. Let's go, love of Jesus. I will follow you, love of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. The love of Jesus. How many songs have been composed to honor the love of Jesus? He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Let me tell you, no one is more confident. No one is more blessed and fortunate and all of these words. Only those who understand and know it profoundly that the God of heaven loves me. I mean, it gives you a super confidence, not arrogance, but a super confidence. God loves me. Why should I try to please anybody? Amen. Amen. Misunderstand me correctly. All we owe to human beings is live, respect, and love. But we are not trying to please you to get your love. We have the love of Jesus. Why do I need any other love? Hallelujah. Somebody looks at a Christian and says, what's wrong with that person? Doesn't try to please everybody. No, because he has the love of Jesus. She has the love of Jesus. Why should she try to flatter anybody? Please anybody? That's why we don't run to commit sin with the crowds. We don't run with the crowds. Why? We are satisfied with the love of Jesus. Praise God. We are content with the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's love is a continuum. It transcends time. Praise God. It does not change, because he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Even when he punished Israel, he loved them. When our parents punished us, we did not doubt that they love us. Yeah? So why do we doubt when God punishes us that he loves us? Praise God. His love was there before the foundation of the earth. Amen. His love is present, and his love will continue in the future, because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Let me take you to the book of Psalms, chapter 136. And you will be surprised to find in this book, Psalms 136, that every second word, verse says, "For his mercy endures forever." Let's read it, a few verses. What does it say? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever." It goes on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. Why? These were people who were assured of the permanence of God's love. Say with me, permanence of God's love. They knew that God's love does not waver amid the storms of life. When you're being tested, when life looks difficult, when you seem to be battered, don't ever doubt that God loves you. Jesus loves you. Say, "Jesus loves me." And say, "I love you, Jesus." Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Despite their repeated disobedience, God loved Israel. He never forsook them. He never abandoned them. Praise God. His covenant with them persisted through generations. This makes it clear that the love of God is not conditional on our actions. Please understand what I'm saying. God will judge our disobedience, but it does not affect his love towards us. Can we say amen? Praise God. He's righteous, so he judges us, but his love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Amen. That is why in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, God says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Praise God. 1,000 is a way of saying forever. Praise God. The love of God is everlasting. This world never seems to stop talking about love. And yet, their love is messed up, isn't it? What is the best love story that you've heard? For me, it was Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, we've all heard of Romeo and Juliet. Shakespeare, the great English bard. Yeah. But let me remind you, let's for the sake of, just an analogy and for the sake of comparison, let's look at the love of Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet's love is passionate, but it was ultimately doomed by miscommunication and family conflict, isn't it? What is the story about? Two families in Italy, the Montagues and the Capulets, yeah? Now, these families could not stand each other. It doesn't take long before the scene opens and these two families are fighting each other with swords, fighting each other. They can't stand each other. And guess what happens? One day, coincidentally, Romeo and Juliet. From these two families who hate each other, fall in love with each other without knowing that they belong to two enemy families, rival families. And one day, God forbid, they discover that they cannot marry. Their love is doomed. What do you do with this love when our families hate each other? Mortal enemies. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? we used to act in these plays in my school. It's like, why are you from this family? Why are you from this family? What is in a name? A rose would still be a rose, even if it was called something else. So they begin to philosophize about the name. Why will the name of your family ruin my love for you? Can I not love you although you belong to the family Montague or Capulet? What is in a name indeed? Well, everything is in the name. In the name of Jesus, praise God. It depends where the love is coming from. If the love is coming from Montagues and Capulet, it's doomed. No future. But if the love is coming from Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world. My love is not coming from Romeo and Juliet. It's not coming from Shakespeare. It's coming from Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's my Romeo and Juliet, praise God. It will not be a love which will be doomed. And you know what happens in the end of the story? They agreed that they're going to pretend to be dead, yeah? And there was a misunderstanding. So that they could marry, and you know, they say they died and moan for them, and then they go and marry. But there was a misunderstanding. The moment the one kills himself, thinking, you know, pretends to be dead. And then the other one thinks, oh, he's dead. And both kill each other in the end. Tragedy. Misunderstanding. There is no misunderstanding with the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Is there a problem? Misunderstanding? Anybody misunderstand? No. The greatest love story is the greatest love story because it's easy to understand. The Word was made flesh. God gave of his own flesh and blood for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can we escape so great a love? The love of Jesus is not like the love of Romeo and Juliet because it is not in vain. It will not return unto him in vain. He does not miscommunicate as Romeo and Juliet miscommunicated with each other. Amen. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8 verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Death was able to separate Romeo and Juliet, but death will never separate us. Nothing, no known force can separate us from the love of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. The love of Jesus is deeply personal, deeply personal. The idea of being personally loved by Jesus is beautifully illustrated in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Isaiah 43 and verse 1 says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine, praise God, hallelujah. Can there be a more personal love than this? I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Say with me, I belong to Jesus. I belong intimately to Jesus. Intimately to Jesus. We humans were made by love. Amen. What ingredient did God use to make us? Say love. Amen. What is the recipe? Say love. Every human being is made in the image of God. That's why we are to love every human being. Because there is no parent who says, I don't love my child. Something is wrong with that parent. Seriously wrong. There's no society that would accept him. Shame. Every human being is proof that God, that they have a God who loves them. Amen. If you don't respect the human being, be careful. Respect the God who made that human being. That's why we don't condemn people. We tell them about the love of Jesus, the God who made them. You are loved. I am loved. We are made by love because we are made in the image of somebody. We are made in the image of Christ. That is why Jesus spoke the way he spoke. He said, turn the other cheek. He told us to greet everybody, not only your friends. He told us not to seek revenge. He told us to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, God makes the sun to shine and the rain to rain on the just and the unjust. Why? Because we're all made by love. Amen. We have to give an account to God if we call someone a fool, raka. Be careful how you speak about, how we speak about each other. We have much to repent about, much to repent about. Praise God. But we are thought of God. Who is your teacher? Jesus. Why do I hate guns? Because of Jesus. He didn't call me to take anybody's life. I don't want to see a gun. I don't want to see a knife except for cutting vegetables. I cannot hurt my neighbor. I cannot kill my neighbor. Because their blood will cry from the ground to my Jesus. And I have to give an account. We have to understand God's love is intimate. He knows us in our entirety, and he calls us his own. You remember Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. You know that Jesus never miscommunicated his love with anybody. Everybody understood his love. There's no Romeo and Juliet here. They knew clearly. People know who loves him, and people know the person who doesn't love them. Zacchaeus was a sinner, but Jesus engaged him directly. Jesus transformed his life through love. Hallelujah. The love of Jesus does not deal with us, as I said earlier, according to our reputation with the people. He doesn't. The love of Jesus sees something which nobody else can see. Nobody else. The most powerful stimulant or stimulus or reaction is love. You can punish people, they'll change their behavior, but ultimately, they do it because of fear. But love is different. People responded to Jesus because they knew this man loves me. This is a person I can trust with my life. I can tell you that was my experience also when I saw Jesus. Always say, I always never have changed it. That love of Jesus could make me do anything, anything. I knew I met somebody who loved me more than anyone. I can't compare my mother's love or any, there's just no comparison. This is love, the love of God. Hallelujah. In heaven, we don't have any commandments. Did you know that in heaven? Do you think you have to read the Ten Commandments in heaven? Do we think in heaven we'll be trying to behave properly? Try not to kill each other in heaven. Try not to steal from Brother Victor in heaven. Try not to commit adultery in heaven. No. We are delivered. We are free. But we will live by one command, by one emotion, feeling, that will be love. Hallelujah. Amen. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Praise Jesus. Such an incredible love that sin does not enter that place. Such incredible love that we can never imagine rebelling against Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Heaven is filled with people who are in love with Jesus. Heaven is filled with people who are intoxicated with the love of Jesus. Heaven is filled with people who are lovesick with Jesus. I could go on and on. Praise God. The Apostle Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Human love and the love of this world is fleeting. It is transient. It's for a short moment. But the love of Jesus is eternal. The love of Jesus becomes an addiction. An addiction from which we can never escape. Praise God. We need more people to be addicted to the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, help people to be addicted to your love in Jesus' name. The love of God remains consistent when all other love will fail you. You know, one day the love of mother will go away because the mother will go away. The father will go away. Brothers, sisters, friends. This life, in terms of human relationships, is basically mourning one relationship to another. From one to another. From one to another. How many people said, my mother died 2 years ago, I still miss him. My father died 5 years ago, I loved him, I miss him. We will never say that about the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Never. I will never say, I miss the love of Jesus. I miss Jesus. I miss it. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is here now. Praise God. His love is now. His love is forever. We will never miss his love because it's here. It is in constant supply, constant supply. Do you miss oxygen? If you do, you'd be dead. We don't miss oxygen because we breathe it all the time. God be praised. He gave us enough oxygen that we don't have to worry. What if the oxygen will run out? In the same way, we don't have to worry about the love of Jesus. He gave us enough. Say, I have enough. Anytime we need it, we put the oxygen of the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whenever you say hallelujah, when you hear the word of God, when you praise him, you are putting the oxygen of love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you're in the plane and there's turbulence, what happens? You try to remember, what did the lady say? Or the guy in the beginning, he says, if it really shakes too much, then the oxygen masks above your head will drop down. Praise God. Because there's no oxygen up there. It's in the plane. Praise God. And they said, thank God, there is oxygen. Hallelujah, praise God. I will not die 10,000 feet above the earth. I will live to see my country and my children and my family, praise God. Listen, on this earth, we have the oxygen of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Sometimes when there's a crisis and when there's no crisis even, you need to pull it down. And you need to attach it to your face and you need to start breathing the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. May you have a great supply of the love of Jesus. Amen. The oxygen of the love of Jesus. So there is evidence of God's love that it's everlasting. So far, we've talked about it being, say with me, everlasting. Do we doubt that God loves Israel still today? How do a people disappear from their homeland for 2,000 years? And then they come back and they create the state of Israel. That could not happen. What are the ancient Egyptians? What are the Babylonians? Where are the ancient Persians and the Medes? None of those people came back. I mean, they changed, they mixed, they called something else today. But only the Israelites left and came back based on the fact that they were a people loved by God, with a covenant with God, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that they will come back with their old religion. The Babylonians' religion is gone. Who worships Marduk or Ashtoreth? The last time we checked in Iraq, they only worship Allah. The Babylonian gods are gone. Their culture is gone. The last time I checked in Iran, nobody worships Ahura Mazda. They're all gone. They worship Allah. The only ancient people who've come back and still call their country by the same name and said, because of a man called Abraham, and they said, we still have the Torah of Moses. These are the only, why? Because God loved them. Say, God loved them. Doesn't matter what else you think politically about Israel. That's another issue. But say with me, God loved them. And when God loves somebody, he does such things for them. His love is everlasting. But there is a second part to this message, yeah? Because the first is Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. But now, it's nice that God loves us, but he says, therefore, say with me, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Praise God. Because God loves us, he keeps drawing us to him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Why are people still being drawn to Jesus? Because for me, it's proof that Jesus is alive. And two, he's drawing people to him because he loves them. That's what he did to me. Yeah. He drew me with his love. He came with his love. He overpowered me with his love. I couldn't resist. I surrendered. I'm a very stubborn man, but within less than a second, I surrendered to this love. It's not something you can fight. Impossible. I once told four imams, if you would experience the love of Jesus, all of you would be Christians. They almost wanted to jump on me and kill me. But I didn't say anything. I was not exaggerating. I said it with objectivity. With truth. Mr. Imam, all of you, if you had met Jesus, I'm sure we wouldn't have this debate. All of you would be like me, praising Jesus, loving Jesus. Hallelujah. All Jesus needs to do is come to your office. And that will be the last day at your office. Jesus came to the job of Matthew. It was his last day. Jesus came to the job of Peter, James, and John. It was their last day. That is the power of the love of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Because he draws. He said, because I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore have I drawn thee. Somebody say, draw. Draw me, Jesus, with your love. Draw me, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what we need. The world is trying to draw us, and Jesus is drawing us. There is a tug of war, brothers and sisters. There is a tug of war. Let Jesus win. Let Jesus win. Let him draw you. Don't tell him, but Lord, let me go and bury my father or my mother. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Let Jesus draw you from the power of this world, from the useless addictions of this world. Let Jesus draw you. Say, Jesus, draw me. We sing the song, draw me near, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Oh, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Hallelujah. Draw me nearer, Jesus. His love will draw you. Do you feel Jesus drawing you? I feel it often. Hallelujah. When Simon Peter saw Jesus, you know what he said? He fell down at the feet of Jesus in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You know what was happening? He was feeling the love of Jesus drawing him. Praise God. And you know, that's how some people respond sometimes. They don't know what to do. And so they tell Jesus, stop drawing me. Go away from me. You know, they feel guilty. They feel useless. They feel unworthy. No, it's not about what you do or don't do. It's about surrendering to the love of Jesus. A little while before that, Jesus told Peter, James, and John to throw their nets into the Sea of Galilee, isn't it? What happened? When they said, we've been working the whole night, toiling the whole night, Lord. And, you know, by the way, leave this to us. We are fishermen. We should know. But you know what Jesus did when they threw their net? Jesus drew the fish into the net. Say with me, Jesus drew the fish. Don't you think the God who can draw fish can draw the hearts of human beings with his love? I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. The God who drew fish, he knows how to draw human fish with his love. Praise God. Fish is one thing. Human beings are another thing. The fish came. They couldn't resist. Peter's trying to resist. But in the end, thank God, the fish called Peter stopped resisting. And he came into the net of Jesus. Hallelujah. I will make you fishers of men. Praise Jesus. How? He draws people with his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no use trying to tell Jesus to depart from me. Never tell Jesus to depart from me. Tell Jesus, draw me nearer. Draw me with your love, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we see what the love of Jesus does to people. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise God. The love of Jesus does something profound in the lives of people. It involves a reorientation of the priorities of life. Your values change. Your actions change. Your words change. Your thoughts change. Hallelujah. Remember the Apostle Paul, a man filled with hatred, murder. He gives us the greatest sermon about love. Many marriages in the world today, although the people are not Christians, they want the words of the Apostle Paul to be read to them, isn't it? Love does not envy. Ah, praise God. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great chapter of charity, love. See what the love of Christ does to a man who was filled with hatred. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in sin shall be done away. Praise God. And he concludes by saying, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we say the greatest of these is love. That's why I said in heaven, we will have love. Say love in heaven. Pure love. A holy love. No backbiting. No envying. None of these things Paul spoke about. Only pure love. Jesus will make us perfect because he alone is perfect. Hallelujah. What a great future awaits us. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have to understand that the love of Jesus also gives us faith, great faith. Love and faith go together, as Paul was saying. Amen. When we love the God whom we cannot see, that is great faith, brothers and sisters. We feel the love. So we have faith that he exists and his promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. This faith that we have is fortified by an understanding that God's unwavering love, the same love extended to Abraham, that love is extended to us today, praise God. The just shall live by faith. And the love of God helps our faith. It carries our faith. Hallelujah. Genuine Christian service arises from love for Jesus, not compulsion. It's not by force, not by fear. We serve Jesus because we love him. Hallelujah. For someone like me who grew up in India, there was a woman called Mother Teresa. Have you heard of Mother Teresa? She came from Albania. She was a Catholic nun. And she said, I'm going to give my life to serve people who have leprosy in Calcutta, India. Let me tell you, even the devil would not want to live in Calcutta, India. Sorry to put it this way. In those days, we had a term, the black hole of Calcutta. But Mother Teresa went to Calcutta. She gave her life to take care of people who were not related to her. Their own people didn't want to have anything to do with it. But a foreigner, an Albanian woman, says, I love them. Because of the love of God. You may say, well, she's a Catholic. You know, we have problems with Catholics. Listen, let's be careful to put labels on people sometimes. I'm not justifying Catholicism. We are not Catholics. We have our problems with the worship of Mary and the Pope, etc. No, we are not Catholic. But how many people would do something like this in the name of Jesus? Who will give up their lives to go and live with people who have leprosy and show them love, hug them in the name of Jesus? Her dedication to the poor and destitute mirrored Christ's love and compassion. She said she was inspired by the love of God to do this. Can we argue with her? The love of Christ must do something. It must change something. It will take you to some places you wouldn't want to go. You cannot go without the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. What has the love of Christ done in your life? How has it changed you? What radical thing did it make you do? Hallelujah. I am convinced that those who experience the love of Christ will always leave the world a better place. Say amen. That's what the love of Jesus does. It makes you leave the world a better place. So maybe one person I touched. That is one better person. One person who knows there is a God of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God give us love for him. His love never changes for us, but our love changes for him. Remember David? David said, as our heart, the deer, panted after the water brooks. Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. So panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. Wow. Few people spoke this way to God. What do you want, David? I'm hungry for God. I'm thirsty for God. What do we give this guy? He's troubling everyone. Give him God. Give him Jesus. That's all that can satisfy him. You know, there are some people, they cannot be happy with anything except Jesus. Give them Jesus, and they are happy troopers. No Jesus, they are the most miserable people. My soul thirsted for God. When's the last time you felt that? You didn't want to talk to anybody. You ran home. You ran as if, you know, something is wrong, and you close the door and just fell on your feet and said, Jesus, I'm thirsty for you. I want to drink Jesus. I want the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Ah, may God give such hunger to our children. Praise God. Blessed is the person. There's no one more blessed than the person who's thirsty for the love of God. And that's why God loved David. Praise. God couldn't ignore David. That's why we tell people, do you want to be blessed? Then love God, love Jesus. He will not allow you to be with sheep in Bethlehem. He will take you to Jerusalem to make you king. Why did, what is this guy's qualification? He loves God. Is that all you need? Yes, that's all you need. You want a good life? You want to smile more? You want to laugh more? You want to sleep well? You want to shout hallelujah? Just love Jesus. You will see your life will change. Always tell people, no matter what happens, do you love Jesus? Are you sure? If you can really say yes, I'm not worried for you. Praise God. You will be okay. Just love Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Despite his imperfections, God forgave him. Why? Because of his love for God. But you know, as I said before, King Saul, I never saw the guy thirsting for God. Have you ever thought of Saul praying to God? Doesn't make Saul praying. He didn't play music to God. It's not his fault. We won't hold him accountable for that. Praying alone to God with tears? Never. Never. That's why he died the way he did. If you love Jesus and that's all your interest in life, it will end well with you. You will be blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me conclude by saying to you, saints of God, do not take the love of Jesus for granted. With time, you may serve Jesus, but if you're not careful, you may be doing it mechanically. And after some time, you will become an Ephesian, a member of the Church of Ephesus. You have lost your first love, abandoned your first love. You have left, Jesus, your first love. Repent of this, Jesus. Jesus does not accept service to him without love. Amen. Who wants to have anybody around them who doesn't love them? I mean, some people you work with at the job, you can't expect them to love you. Don't expect your boss to love you. Don't expect your neighbor to love you. I'm not speaking about these people, but your family, husbands, wives, so-called friends. We know when somebody loves you or doesn't love you. Jesus knows. He's sensitive to those who love him or don't love him. And he told the church, we were there in Turkey, Ephesus, the same place where they shouted, great is Diana of the Ephesians in the amphitheater. Jesus gave that church a warning. You have left your first love. Repent. Or I will remove your candidate. And you know who was their pastor? John, the Apostle John. The Apostle of love, yes. The man who always said, talked about the love of God. For God so loved the world. Love, love, love. Love one another. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And now his church is about to be shut down because they don't love Jesus. God have mercy. What I'm trying to say is we all can be in trouble, brothers and sisters. Let's check today. Ask yourself, do I love Jesus? Do I love him? Am I just a Christian? Do I just love Christianity but not love Jesus? Do I love the church but I don't love Jesus? Do I love everything about the Christian life, but I don't love Jesus? God have mercy. Amen. Let's leave everything aside and ask ourselves, do I love Jesus? What do I think of Jesus? Is he just the God, the man who gave me my life insurance? Some people, some Christians look at Jesus as a the person who gives them life insurance, yeah? Salvation. For them, salvation is life insurance. That means eternal life insurance. I'm saved, praise God. Jesus saved me. I'm baptized in Jesus' name. So I have life insurance. Yeah? Eternal life insurance. Jesus becomes the insurance policy. God have mercy. Who loves the insurance company? I don't even know where they are. I don't know who. One person who works there. I can't say I love people I don't know. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus. It's about Jesus, to know him. Paul said that I may know him. I know whom I've believed. I know whom I love. It's a love story. Say love story. It's the greatest love story in the universe, between you and Jesus, me and Jesus. This is how I see my fate, the greatest love story. Ah, shall I tell you about who I love? There's somebody in my heart, somebody who conquered my heart. Jesus, 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 praise God, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 praise God. We love him. Do you know you love him? Do you really love him? Amen. Does Jesus still bring tears to your eyes? Does he, hallelujah, cause your voice to quiver? Does he make you weak in the knees? Is that name special for you? Would you do anything for that name? I cry because I know the love of Jesus, my relation with him. He can make me do anything. He can make me leave everything tomorrow. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we close our eyes and pray? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no love like Jesus' love. Jesus, 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 Jesus. How sweet your name, Jesus. What a love. What a great love. What a life-changing love. Hallelujah. We just love you. We just worship you. Increase our love for you, Jesus. Increase the love of everyone who's hearing this message today, Jesus. Challenge us again, Jesus. Do we love him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. What a blessed God. What a wonderful Jesus. My Jesus. My Jesus. Tell him my Jesus. My Jesus. We are not talking about somebody else's Jesus. I like to hear about your Jesus, but I have my Jesus. That means the same Jesus is my Father too. And I have a relationship with him, which is unique. My story is unique. Your story is unique. Tell me about your Jesus. I'll tell you about my Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You mean everything to us, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Take us all the way, Jesus. Take us all the way to heaven to be with you, Jesus. We don't belong anywhere else. We don't have anyone else. Whom do we have on the earth except you? Whom do we have in heaven except you? You're everything, Jesus. You're everything, Jesus. We praise you. We adore you. We shower you with our love, for you deserve our love, Jesus. You deserve our love, Jesus. You deserve our love, Jesus, that we can wash your feet with our tears of love, Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, hallelujah. Amen. Just soak up the presence of Jesus. Love Jesus. Jesus is blessed. It makes him happy when we love him. Amen. Hallelujah. It makes him happy. That's all he wants from us. Amen. Let us not be guilty of the accusation against the church of Ephesus. You have left your first love. We will not leave our first love. Praise God. Praise God. Are we still enjoying Jesus? Say, I'm enjoying Jesus. I celebrate Jesus. His love, our love relation with him is sacred. It is sacred. It is holy. Jesus bless you abundantly. We thank God for his mercy. And we thank God for all his blessings. Hallelujah.